This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 102 Weight Loss Structure Accountability Results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP102weightloss.com. Join us right now as we talk a little baseball. He has a new memoir titled, I'm Keith Hernandez. It is the aforementioned Keith Hernandez.
The
books
legend.
Available May 15th, wherever books are sold. Good morning, Keith.
How are you guys?
Hello, Keith.
Doing great. Thanks for doing the show, man. Appreciate you. And, you know, I'm sure you've been asked about this a million times, but all of a sudden you're like this social media darling. The New York Times yesterday called you a genius.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it all has to do with my cat, Haji. He's the one that's famous. He's the one that made it, turned it viral.
Yeah, what? I mean,
where'd that start?
You were just like walking around the house or something, right? You went to go get your paper or something, and then people just glommed onto that? What was the derivation of all this?
I always take him. I pick him up, and I get the morning paper. I got around 30 yards. I got a long driveway, and I go get the paper every morning with him on my shoulder.
Right.
And we just flew back from San Diego. I didn't get to bed till 4:30 in the morning, so I was just—I don't know why I did it, but someone taught me. You know, when I was doing Twitter, he said, "You can make videos," and I said, "Okay." So I decided just to put Haji on my shoulder and do the video, and it just went off the charts.
That's crazy, man.
So Haji's a superstar,
apparently so.
Haji is a superstar.
Now, is this, I should know this, Keith, I apologize, but is this your first book?
No, this is my fifth.
Your fifth, okay,
wow.
Right.
Wow, it's prolific.
I did three baseball books and one children's book, so this is the fifth.
Okay, so and that's what I figured. What makes this book different from the others? What revelations or whatever, what was sort of the thought process behind this book?
Well, this is an autobiography.
Okay.
The other books were just about
children's
baseball.
Books.
So this is about my life.
Okay, gotcha. All right. So that makes all the sense in the world then.
I'm wondering, how many people know you from baseball versus Seinfeld? Are there people that just simply know you from Seinfeld?
Oh, the great majority. It really makes perfect sense. I am 30 years removed from playing baseball. You know, I am going to be 65 in October, and there's a lot of people that never saw me play. Seinfeld came in the 90s. You know, in the baseball world, it's just a certain segment of society, of sports people.
Right.
But Seinfeld was the iconic show of the 90s, and my episode, evidently, I was very fortunate to be in that episode that was so popular. And, you know, it reached the whole nation. If not the whole nation, it was internationally. So it gave me a second life. It connected me with the younger generation. You know, I walk through airports today, and that's when I get it the most. You know, someone will come behind me and say, can I help you move? What was it like kissing Elaine? Nice game, pretty boy. You know, it happens all the time. And it's all great fun.
Yeah. Nice game, pretty boy. It's a great line.
So what made you want to finally write a book about your life?
Well, I was approached by a literary agent, Ian Kleinert. He had the idea. People have been wanting me to do this for 10 years plus.
Right.
And I just felt it wasn't the right time. If I was going to do an autobiography, I wanted to see more, have more perspective of my change from on the field to in the booth. And then with all the changes in the game that have come about, it just wasn't the right time. So When it was pitched to me, I thought I'd been in the booth long enough and I can write intelligently about changes in the game, which are in the book. And so there you have it. It was a 2.5-year process. It was a lot of work.
So how much of this book do you talk about your playing days with the Cardinals and the Mets? Not much?
Well, this book, we realized that Little Brown wanted 330 pages, 90,000 words. That's what it adds up to. We knew that if we were going to do write-in, that if we were going to do my whole life, it would be 800 pages. So we pitched the idea to Little Brown that let's just do it about my formative years.
Uh-huh.
The book is not in chronological order. It bounces back and forth. That was my co-author, Mike Ponce's idea, and we weave it in and out different periods of my life, but obviously my childhood, my minor league days, and then my early years in the big leagues, and my struggles. I wanted to portray that it wasn't, everybody saw the finished product in New York. I was already a star player, but they didn't know my past to that,
uh-huh.
And that's what we wanted to project in the book, and I'm very pleased. I think we've done it.
Tell me what.
It wasn't an easy road. I got sent down. It was a nip and tuck there for a while.
Yeah,
I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Yeah, talk more about that. Specifically about your high school days. I don't know if this is true or not, but did you sit out your senior year in high school?
Yes,
because
I did.
Why? What happened there?
I would have been a number one draft pick for some ball club, and all the scouts were out every game. I came out late from basketball. I played all three sports.
Okay.
I pitched and as well as hit, and I wasn't ready. My arm wasn't ready. I hadn't thrown. So I was just getting knocked around and not getting anybody out because I had to get my arm strength back. And there were scouts in the stands and of all the teams. And I don't know, my coach, I don't know what his story was, but he shouldn't have been handling kids, and I quit.
Wow.
With full support from my father, and went and played semi-pro ball over on the weekends over in El Cerrito across the bay in San Francisco.
Huh.
Against college guys and ex-pro players, and I had to go to school. So I could only play on weekends, and then summer ball came, and I played in Joe DiMaggio, and I tore it up, and the Cardinals drafted me, took a flyer on me, and that's how it all happened.
I didn't realize you were drafted in the 41st round. My God.
Yeah.
I think it was a 41 or 42. It doesn't really matter.
Late bloomer.
And I got a $30,000 signing bonus because I had a full ride to Cal,
right,
Berkeley. And my dad told the Cardinals when they were scouting and they started negotiating because I was just killing it.
Right.
That, you know, my son's not going to go. He needs an education. My dad asked for 50. And I was, you know, they just said, no way. But he negotiated it to 30. My dad felt that if I didn't make it, I can go back to school. And that's how it happened. I wound up signing late in the summer, around August. And that was a St. Louis Cardinal.
When you're not a bonus baby like that, and you're the 41st, 42nd round, whatever, I mean, I got to imagine it's that much harder for you, right? Because they have, I mean, okay, they invested $30,000, which was a lot at that time, but it's not like a ton of money, right? It's got to be so much harder when you're like a draft pick.
Yeah, but a lot of guys, when I went to my first camp, there were 700 players. You know, they had 8 minor league teams.
Right.
That's, 200 players are going to go and play ball, and the 500 are going home, and they weed them out pretty quick. I never had that pressure because I got the $30,000.
Mm.
My actual roommate my first year was Mike Vail, who went on to play for the Mets.
Yeah.
And he didn't get any money, and he was a nervous wreck. I never had that pressure. My only pressure was living up that I was highly touted. And there was a lot of jealousy with other players that didn't get money, and I was getting preferential treatment, which I wasn't. The only preferential treatment I was getting was that they were patient with me because they felt they had something special.
Right.
Where, you know, they make decisions on players in the minor leagues real quick. So that's all in the book, and that's all part of my path to the big leagues.
So how many years did you spend in the minors?
2.5.
Two and a half. What
that's tearing through it.
What were those?
A ball, A-ball, double A, got called up halfway through double A when I was 19 at triple A, played a full year in triple A,
uh-huh.
and up to the big leagues.
Wow. Man, you raced through it.
Yeah.
And then when you finally got to the bigs with the Cardinals, did you feel overwhelmed? Were you comfortable? Were there certain guys that you – go ahead.
No, you got to remember one thing. It's in the book, too. I have one particular outside of my first at-bat, obviously, my first game where I got my first hit and my first RBI. I was in Candlestick Park in front of my mom and dad, my whole family, which was enough, very nerve-wracking. But my first pinch hit – it was in the first homestand in August of 74. Red Shandies set me up to pinch hit against Tom Seaver. I was 20 years old. I was two and a half years removed from high school.
Crazy.
And we're losing 3-1. Tom's throwing a gem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ninth inning, two outs, nobody on. It's one out, nobody on. And we're in a stretch run fighting with the Pirates. And I pinch hit off Seaver. I remember getting up to the plate, digging in, and then looking up and seeing Tom Seaver on the mound. I went, oh, my God. I go, that's Tom Seaver. I had to step out and get back in. And I had a pinch hit triple off him in the gap. I don't know how. It was probably the hardest hit ball I ever hit in my career off Tom. Great pitcher. We laugh about it to this day. But he said, when you hit that fastball, I realized that, I just can't. You know, they always test you when you're a rookie. Can you hit a fastball? He said, I realized that I had to pitch you a little more carefully.
Yeah.
Hey, we wanted to ask you about Matt Harvey real quick. Obviously, he's moved on from the Mets. Was it the last straw when the reports came out that he was partying the night before one of his last pitching performances with the Mets?
Yeah, we flew in. I have no issue with that. He showed up to the ballpark on time. We flew in from St. Louis after a series in St. Louis. He was in the bullpen at that point. We flew into San Diego, got in around dinner hour, and he went up to L.A. for some glitterata opening of a restaurant with all the so-called celebrities, which Matt loves to be a part of. And he came home. I don't know when he came home, but he came to the park on time. I have no issue with that. But he kind of made his own bed there, and you know, when you make your own bed, you got to sleep in it, and when you're not performing, you just make it much more difficult for yourself. And I think Matt made things a lot more difficult than it should have been, and I think it's better for him to get away from New York and start fresh.
All right, Keith, best of luck with the new book. It's titled I'm Keith Hernandez. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I want to read it. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Yep. All right.
Coming up next, we shift gears. We talk movies. Kevin McCarthy, BDK, joins us next
BDK.
On The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Watch. We'll go back to Tampa to cover Caps Lightning Game 1 tonight, which you can listen to right here on 106.7 The Fan with Rob Carlin, host of Caps Game Time and Caps Extra. He'll join us at 9:40, but joining us right now to talk some movies is Kevin McCarthy. Hey, Kevin.
Papa Squeezy.
Hello, Kevin.
Kevin, will you be watching the Caps tonight, Game 1, Eastern Conference Finals? What are the chances?
No, I will not actually be watching the Caps.
How can you not get into that?
Well, I'm going to be on an airplane. I can't physically watch it. Yeah, no, I mean, I would love to watch the game, and I know you guys are super excited about it, and obviously it's a huge game for the for the city, I just won't. We'd be physically in an area where I can.
Are you in a hotel? Are you in a hotel right now in L.A. or something?
I am. Yeah, I was here for the Solo Star Wars premiere last night, and like everybody in regards to Star Wars was at the premiere. It was crazy. Like Donald Glover stopped me and said he liked my suit. It was unbelievable. Mm. It was so cool.
Well, what is your suit? Just for the people who are watching on NBC Sports Washington, are you R2-D2?
Yeah, I wore an R2-D2 suit to the premiere last night. So this was
Can you stand up for us to see that?
By the way, to call that a suit is an insult to real suits worldwide.
Yeah.
Look at that thing.
Well, you got it from that website, $100 suit? Is that where you get it?
Yeah. I have like five of these suits, and I got to figure out which one I'm going to wear today to the interviews. But everybody was there. Like, George Lucas was there last night. It was surreal. I watched the film in the Kodak Theater. The Dolby Theater, which is where the Academy Awards are held. And George Lucas watched the movie with us, which was crazy. Ron Howard was there. I ran into Joe Manganiello. Any people who weren't even in the movie were at the premiere just kind of geeking out. Ewan McGregor was there. It was awesome. It was a very surreal experience, and just to be there with everybody.
Now, Ron Howard wasn't the original director in this film, right? He took over?
Yeah, exactly. So the Chris Miller and Phil Lord, who are the directors originally for this movie, they directed films like 21 Jump Street and films like the Lego movie. They were initially on board, reportedly shot a lot of the movie, and then were fired from the movie. Ron Howard came on to finish it. Apparently did almost reshot everything. I don't know if any of the original footage is in this film, which is something I want to ask about today when I see the cast and Donald Glover and everybody. So I'm excited.
By the way, because I'm super hip, I just learned that Donald Glover is also Childish Gambino.
I just learned that in the past week.
I heard that.
How was I supposed to know that before he was on SNL?
Is his latest interview? I saw an interview with him. Or not his latest interview. His latest video. Is it controversial? Is there something controversial about his latest interview? What is it?
Well, it's a masterpiece. I think it has over 70 million views or whatever on YouTube. It's one of the most incredibly effective and genius pieces of art I've seen in a long time, song-wise, video-wise. The guy who directed the video also directs Atlanta, which is a great show that Donald Glover's on. But if you haven't seen the video, it's called This Is America. And in my opinion, it deals with how crazy fast our news cycle is and how we are so obsessed with like the moment, the entertainment element. Like there's literally scenes where he'll shoot somebody and then start dancing. And it's a commentary on just the idea of what we care about in our society and how fast we move past tragedy. That's the way I took it, at least.
Is his dad dad Danny Glover?
No.
I don't think so. No.
They're not related at all.
They're not related.
Oh, okay.
He made a joke about that at SNL. He hosted SNL this past Saturday. I think he joked that he was Danny Glover's father. I think that was his like a joke, but I don't think he's related to him whatsoever.
All right, gotcha.
I don't know.
No, you're probably right.
All right, so what movies did you see this weekend? I know that Melissa McCarthy has a movie coming out, as does Dee Wade's wife.
Oh, yeah, Gabrielle Union. First of all, we'll start off with her film, which could have been bad had it not been for her performance. The movie is something we've seen before. It's a home invasion type movie, but you're basically dealing with a mom who's returning home to take care of her father's house. Her father's tragically passed away. She brings her two kids back to the house. They're trying to sell the house. And when she arrives there, four men have broken in to essentially steal millions of dollars from a safe. But they had no idea that Gabrielle Union and her kids were going to be there. So that kind of becomes this whole thing. They take the kids hostage, and she has to kick butt and try and save her kids and also stop these men from doing what they're doing. And to me, the reason the movie works is because of how awesome she is in it. She's fantastic in the film, and she kind of carries that intensity, and they underestimate how amazing she is. And it's also a commentary on what you would do for your kids, how far you would go for your kids. And I think, and you guys as parents, I'm sure you would do anything to save your kids. I think that's kind of what the whole concept of this is, how far you'll push yourself. But, you know, there's some script issues and some plot holes at times, but she really does nail this performance. And she does a great job. I gave it my famous 3.5 out of 5, actually, which is the standard review.
Which means it was average.
My standard review. Yeah, it's average. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
Average.
All right. So did you see the Melissa McCarthy movie? She's done a bunch of movies, after Mike and Molly, and most of them have been flops, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of hit or miss with Melissa McCarthy. I love Bridesmaids. I love Spy. I think those are her two best films. This, and then she had some really bad ones, like Tammy was horrible.
Spy Report.
One thing I will say about this movie is it kind of falls in the middle of all those. So I think it's fine. I mean, she's dealing with a character who's going back to college, and she's dealing with a divorce, and she wants to finish her college that she couldn't finish years ago when she had a kid. She ends up going to the same college that her daughter is at. I mean, the movie made me laugh in very, very funny moments, and then it also felt really rushed and had some pacing issues at times. But I think this is one of her better performances, considering what she had done prior. But to me, Spy and Bridesmaids are top of the line, Melissa McCarthy. This is middle of the road, and I gave us a 3 out of 5.
By the way, who's that? I just saw the screenshot that said, "I've never laughed so hard in my life. Go see this movie."
That wasn't me.
I know it wasn't you.
That definitely was not me.
Who would ever say that about that movie?
I don't know. But anyway, you guys are showing some other movies coming out this in the coming weeks. I'm seeing Deadpool on Monday, which I'm really excited about. Deadpool's going to be awesome. And then I know, Jason, you're probably excited about Sicario 2. That's probably the next thing you're excited about.
Oh, yeah. When's that come out?
I think it's a month or two from now. It's not on this list, obviously. But
what about Ocean's 8? Ocean's 8 looks like it's the same as Ocean's 11, but just women?
Yeah, it's an all-female leading cast. It's very similar to the concept of Ocean. It's an Ocean's film, so it takes place in the same. It's an all-female leading cast. It's very similar to the concept of Ocean. It's an Ocean's film, so it takes place in the same universe. George Clooney's character exists in this world. You have Sandra Bullock, Rihanna is in the film. Everybody, Kate Blanchett. It's a huge cast.
So now we have an Ocean's universe to go along with the Marvel Cinematic
Everything's
Universe.
Everything's got a universe now.
Everything's a universe, man. Everything. Yeah, and even this movie I saw last night, Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is the movie that Eric Pickle can't wait to see.
Yeah, sure.
That takes place in the Star Wars universe, obviously. So
I'm just curious, you work in news, right? So you're a movie guy. But when we asked you earlier if you were going to watch the Caps, you couldn't because you're on the plane. I get it. But I don't think you watch the Redskins very often. How do you decide what you're going to watch? Like, how many sporting events do you actually watch?
See, you think sporting events is life. I think movies are life. So, like, you might not know who
Wonder Woman is. It's just part of the culture. It's just a huge part of the culture. And you work in news.
Talaki doesn't know who Wonder Woman is.
No.
But also, movies are a massive part of the culture, and you don't know what they and a lot of these characters are. So you're kind of sleeping on big things, too. So sports is your thing. Movies are my thing.
No, I understand. So you're not going to watch, did you watch one full Redskins game last year?
No, I couldn't even tell you one player on the Caps except for Ovechkin. That's the only person I can tell you.
He knows Ovechensky. That's
it. So you wouldn't even watch it. Like, even if you were home, you wouldn't watch it. Like, the biggest playoff game in 20 years for them.
If I was home and the Caps were in the playoffs, which they are, I would watch it. But I would not watch a regular season game of the Caps.
I'm not going to kill you for that.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch a playoff game. I love the playoffs.
Right.
So okay. I'll watch it for sure.
Kevin, I'm curious because when Cake said what movie critic said something really positive about the garbage movie, I remember years ago you used to get excited for this. Can you tell us the first time it showed up on an ad where it said some sort of comment from Kevin McCarthy?
Oh God! I'll never forget this. I opened up a New York Times article, and I guess I didn't know this could happen. I had written a review about Twilight, and my quote was, I said for something about its intended audience, I was surprised at how intense this movie was, and all they took was intense, and it wasn't even it was completely out of context. I was basically saying that this is not my type of movie, but I was surprised how intense it ended up being. And they just used the word intense completely out of context. And I learned my lesson that day. I was like, I need to make sure that no one ever takes quotes out of context. I don't really give a lot of quotes, honestly. I don't like doing that.
Hey, I'm just wondering. So did you do Fox and Friends this morning?
No, I couldn't. I was in L.A. for Star Wars.
Okay, because I'd be intrigued. They're talking about North Korea, and they're talking about prisoners coming over.
Where do they put Wedge him in?
And then they have the guy with the R2-D2 suit on.
Right, just talk about a terrible Melissa McCarthy movie. Yeah.
Next time Next time I go on there, could you imagine like they're tossing to like a Donald Trump story about war, and I'm like, JP.
Have you ever done the papa 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 to any of those hosts? Have you ever done anything like that?
No.
I think it would end his career.
Would they fire you?
I think it would end his career.
Please do it.
I don't know. Every single week, I'm on the air with the hosts from Fox and Friends, and I'll come on the air with like a wacky suit. I got to imagine somebody's up there in corporate going, "What the heck is this kid doing?" They go to the most serious stories right after. I'm like nerding out about Avengers. I'm like geeking out. I've had nerd tears, and then they go to like some horrific like news story. But, you know, that's what's going on in the world right now. So I think it's just interesting, but I think it's a break from all that. I think that's why they like it.
Did you let nerd tears go, right? You don't keep it up anymore.
I just haven't had time. I sleep 3 or 4 hours a night, so I haven't had time to like work on the website.
Oh my God.
How do you function?
Yeah.
I don't even know how you
get it. He's always on a plane.
Wait till you have a kid. When you have a kid, your life is going to change drastically. I hope you know that.
We never got to the story.
I don't think he's going to have kids.
He might be one of those millennials. We never did the story, but there was an article that millennials just aren't into sex.
Oh, I don't think he's into sex.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's into watching it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Jason mentioned Jurassically. I can't wait for Jurassic World.
He's pretty asexual.
Hey, I forget. Honestly, I don't know if it was an idea or we actually did it, but back when we used to torture you before you became this big national TV superstar.
When you slapped me? Yeah.
No. Yeah, well, I mean, we did that.
Well,
but
we'd make you, like,
kiss
chicks.
Did we once put you in a chair and force you to watch an adult movie to see what would happen?
But I didn't do that bit.
Okay,
no,
I think we threatened to do it.
We'll make you watch a gay film, to be honest.
To see if you were into it.
We'll make you watch a gay film, and then Jason would touch you to see if you were sized.
By the way, they were just showing his itinerary from his latest trip to L.A. He took a 90-minute Uber ride.
How expensive was that?
Jason,
was that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Uber's, it was like $40. Yeah. So yesterday, my day, let's go over my day yesterday. 4:45, wake up in D.C. I went live from 6 to 10 a.m. in D.C. 1 o'clock, I took a 5-hour flight to Los Angeles and a 90-minute Uber ride to my hotel, then an hour shuttle ride to the premiere of Star Wars. Got back here, went to bed at 1 in the morning, woke up at 5, and now I'm with you guys.
Well, 90 minutes in L.A., it was like 5 miles.
Right. I guess that's true.
Oh, yeah.
So I can see that.
Do you have fights with management all the time about your expenses? I got to believe you're filling out expense sheets all the time.
No. That's a whole minutia thing. I'll tell you about that off the air, but no, it's not a big deal.
The movie company. Companies pay.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
The Rock is paying. I pay my own cash. Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson is paying all of your
expenses. Do you have The Rock on your cell phone at this point? Could you text The Rock if you wanted?
We DM. I don't text him. Like I could DM him right now and talk
he
to
slides
him.
He sent me like a birthday.
Yeah, you slide into his DM. Yeah. Your little fot. Right. Who's the biggest celebrity you have on your cell phone?
That you actually text.
Do you have any?
No. I mean, it's all fake.
It's all fake relationships.
The only
right?
thing missing in that picture is the Deep Eddie.
Ryan Reynolds and I were talking last night for like 20 minutes on DM. We're just chatting. It's the same thing as the text.
You tell him how hot his wife is.
I think his wife. The big story is she unfollowed all of his social media.
Oh, why? Really?
She bitter?
No, that was a bit for a movie.
Oh.
No, she followed him back. The whole bit there was she's in a movie called with Paul Feig, and she plays a character named Emily Nelson.
I don't even know whose wife is that. Blake Lively?
Yeah, so hot.
Yeah, she unfollowed everybody on her account, only followed Emily Nelson.
Bickle. She's so hot in town.
Yeah. Dude, he was married to Scarlett Johansson and now Blake Lively.
All right, Kevin. Yeah.
Well, he's dreamy anyway. So
3.5 for... Gabby
Union movie. Nobody's
going
to see those movies.
Like Breaking In, I think, is the title.
Right.
And the other one was just awful. I don't even think he gave her.
Let me know about Sicario too. I'll come see that with you.
All right, guys.
Thanks,
guys. I love you guys very much.
That's his moment when he doesn't really want to trash the movie. He doesn't even, unless we ask, doesn't even give us
the rating. Big time? Like, is that considered big time if you're DMing Ryan Reynolds? It kind of impressed me a little bit.
Yeah, it's impressive.
It kind of impressed me.
But
it's not the same as texting a guy.
Ryan Reynolds is starting the conversation.
It's not like he is.
Well, there's 0% chance he's DMing Kevin for his thoughts on.
Why is he wasting 20 minutes? Like, in other words, when I get texts from certain people, I don't want to respond. I just don't respond.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's responding.
Probably a nice guy.
He's like a good dude.
You know,
Does he know Kevin from some other interview? Or?
Must know him from seeing him 100 times.
Interviewed him 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, sure. So he knows him. He likes him.
Probably more than
I don't
that.
Know why he likes him, but he likes him.
But when he first said I was talking to him for 20 minutes, I was picturing like he ran into him at the hotel bar. Instead, it was just a stupid DM conversation.
Right.
Hey, he's not talking to him in person. He's talking to him on the phone.
But you're right. He's not into sex at all. He's not into he's not into sex or making love, Case.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
He's not into any of that.
I mean, if you had to bet, I mean, he is married. He's got a lovely bride. We all went to the wedding.
It was beautiful.
Fun wedding, everything like that.
Yeah.
If you had to bet, like, frequency?
I don't know. He might service her because she's a woman.
Everybody's got their needs
or whatever, but begrudgingly.
Yeah, but it's hard to bang your wife when you're in Beverly Hills.
I'm going
to
say back in once DC. A month, twice a month tops. Twice a month tops. It's probably a lot.
Yeah, I'd take the under.
The under is Valdez.
All right, coming up next.
Shrapnel. You just got
smacked.
Yeah,
Rob Carlin's going to join us from Tampa, host of Caps Game Time and Caps Extra, and you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington right at the same time. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Going to head back to Tampa. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines. Rob Carlin, he hosts Caps Game Time and Caps Extra on NBC Sports Washington. Working a couple extra weeks at least this year, Rob.
Yeah, it's good to be working this time of year. Alan May has been looking for more paydays ever since I started working with him. It's important to him to help feed his family. So, yeah, this is definitely exciting to be hosting shows in the first Eastern Conference Final in 20 years for the city. It's crazy it's been that long.
Well, Alan's a grandpa already. He's got more mouths to deal with.
Yes, he is. I try to have fun with that a few times. He does not play well when I go there.
So, right.
Rob, have you seen a lot of Caps fans making the trip down there to Tampa for Game 1? Because we know that the Tampa Bay Arena, Amalie Arena, has put restrictions in place as far as opposing fans coming in, wearing Caps colors and logos.
So Cakes and I could not actually get into the game today.
We would be
both wearing Caps jerseys.
No, there's certain out. Places.
Yeah, certain spots.
Certain spots. You can't go into the suite and all that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know why they would do that. That seems a little over the top to me, especially they're really nice people here. They have gone out of their way to help us set up here, but I guess they don't want Caps fans, taking over the arena. Not that I think that would be how it would go down. I did meet a fan yesterday. He's 10 years old. This little kid, Martin. I was getting off the plane. I had headphones in. I was listening to music. And this little 10-year-old, he kept waving. And I looked back. I was like, he's not waving at me. I don't know who this kid is. And he recognized me, and he was in a Caps jersey. And he started talking to me. He's like, my dad once asked if you can go to one hockey game. So I asked him if I can go to Tampa to watch an Eastern Conference Finals game before the Caps were even here. So now he's happened to see his team. And he's like, I brought 3 extra Caps jerseys to give my family down here so they can wear them. I was like, kid, I don't think they're going to get into the arena watching that. I feel bad to ruin this for you, but I don't think they're getting in wearing red jerseys.
Will the Caps counter that when the series moves back here to D.C.?
I don't think so.
I hope so. Why wouldn't they? I mean, if you want to go down that road, yeah. Why? Well, they wouldn't let fans sell tickets to Pittsburgh fans. I did see one Caps fan as I was walking to the arena this morning in a white Caps jersey. So there's nothing they could do to stop that. So just go with the road whites today, and they should be fine.
So we've been talking a lot today, Rob, about the injuries for the Caps with Backstrom and Burakovsky. I guess Burakovsky looks a little bit better than Backstrom does at this point. We fear that Backstrom has the broken hand. I know the team hasn't released the information, the official information, but we fear that. How do you think, going forward, that affects this team? Obviously, they can win without him. They did with in the series against Pittsburgh. But, I just think with Tampa and their depth, you need as many really good players as you can get. Do you feel like they need Backstrom and Burakovsky to win the series, or can they win it without him?
Definitely need Backstrom. I mean, you could win a game. You might be able to win a game against Tampa. I don't know that you'll be able to sustain 4 wins in 7 games without arguably the best two-way center in hockey. So Alan knows a lot about breaking bones, both having bones broken and administering broken bones. And he broke it down for us. He said if it's a straight break, you can play with that. It'll take a couple of days. If it's on an angle, and again, we don't know for sure that it's a broken hand, but that's what we're assuming. If it's on an angle, that's where you run the risk of the bone moving a little bit. So we don't know what kind of break it was. I know he was on the ice before they came down here yesterday, getting some drills in, which is a good sign. So you don't want to go too many games against a team with this much firepower like Tampa has without Nicholas Backstrom. Getting Burakovsky back would be big. Getting Backstrom back is a total series changer. So I expect Burakovsky will play. I don't know about tonight. I expect he'll play at some point because he was flying the other day at practice. Just don't know about Backstrom.
Rob, it should be a really big boost for the Capitals to get Tom Wilson back in the starting lineup. We saw how excited he was for the team in the locker room post-game, game six in Pittsburgh. You could tell that it's just eating him alive not to be out on the ice. I mean, losing three games in a playoff run, that's a big chunk. He has to be excited, and the team has to be pumped to have him back tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, he does so many things for this team. I mean, first off, he is a real, you know, a core heart and soul guy for that room. I saw the video you're talking about when he jumped on Kuzi after he scored the series clinching goal the other night. And that's the type of guy Tom Wilson is. But he's also important on the ice. Forget the physical play that he has the reputation for. I mean, this guy is actually a productive guy. I mean, he makes plays. He sets guys up. He's always involved in something. And he's one of, if not their best penalty killer at this point. So, you know, forget the physical play that he brings to it. He's an important part of their success this year. And he's the top line guy. And with him in the lineup, everyone else starts falling back into their normal slot. So, again, you don't want to go up against a team like Tampa without your full arsenal of players here. And they need Tom Wilson. And that dude is fired up to get back out on the ice for game one tonight.
Tampa apparently has a really good defense, Rob. We talked to Joe B earlier. He claims
except on the penalty kill.
Except the penalty kill. But their defense 5-on-5 apparently is legit. They're big. I know they got some former Rangers. Talk about how can we solve them? How can we solve that great D?
They have a bunch of former Rangers. I mean, you're just going to be like, "That we played him.
Right.
There's a bunch of former Rangers on this team. And then there's Victor Hedman, who is the best left-handed defenseman in hockey. And it's funny because I remember when they first drafted Hedman, and I was still working at MSG Network covering the Islanders, and his first year or so, because he's 6'6", his first year or so was not great, and people were calling him a bust. And I remember looking at him, how could that guy be a bust? Look at the size of this guy. And now he is, if not the best, he's definitely the best left-handed defenseman. He might be the best defenseman in all of hockey. He's that good, and you're going to see a lot of him on the ice tonight. The way to solve that is the same thing that we've been saying all year long that they didn't do in the regular season and they're doing more of in the postseason is just fire pucks. Just put pucks on net. Put it into the high danger areas. We saw a couple of times in that game against Pittsburgh where they just fired a puck from a wicked angle and all of a sudden there's a deflection and all of a sudden there's a scramble. And that's where goals are scored. That's where series are won at this time of year. So they definitely went with the mantra of, you know, quality over quantity during the regular season. They've been a more quantity over necessarily quality in the playoffs, and I think that's absolutely what they have to do against Tampa, who, by the way, Vasilevsky was the runaway favorite, you know, for the Vezina Trophy for most of the season before he kind of dipped. So keep doing what they were doing. They were the better team than Pittsburgh throughout that series. Keep doing what they were doing in that series. I like their chances. This is a tough series, but if you said that the Caps came away beating Tampa Bay, who they've owned over the regular season over the last handful of years, that would not surprise me at all.
Rob, if Backe's not available, give us kind of the main power play unit. Who fills his spot?
Well, Lars Eller will take his place. Yeah, Lars Eller will take his place like he did the other night in Game 6. And he's a creative player who's not afraid to shoot the puck. So, again, it's a huge drop-off. Lars Eller's a nice player. He does a good job on this team. But you're talking about the premier passer, certainly on this team, and one of the best passers in all of hockey. That little feather pass he sent to TJ Oshie a couple of games ago against Pittsburgh from, like, 5 feet away and put it right on a tee for Oshie to score from the slot on the power play. It was over two defenseman sticks. I mean, there's few players in the world who, A, would have the confidence to even make the pass, and B, the skill to actually do it. So it's a huge loss. Lars Eller is a good player. He's not Nicholas Backstrom. Again, they could beat Pittsburgh in a game on the road. They might be able to steal a game from Tampa without 19, but they need him back for the power play and just for the all-around game.
All right, I know you're doing Facebook Live, I believe, at 11 on NBC Sports Washington on Facebook, so have fun with that. Enjoy Tampa.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, Robbie.
Yeah, guys. Thanks, man. See you guys later.
Yep.
All right. We'll be watching tonight.
I'm tired of talking about it. I just
want to watch it.
Yeah, let's
just want to recap it. You want to recap games 1 and 2 on Monday?
Well, hopefully. I won't want to recap it if they lose both.
No.
I'll feel miserable.
Fun. Yeah, but we don't have to play Titanic because they've come back from down 2-0 already this year.
Yeah, I won't bury them. I won't bury him, that's for sure. I'm looking for a split. That's all we need.
All right, got to get out of here.
Take care of your moms this weekend.
For Bish, KCB, I'm JP. Granddaddy, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.